Scarlett O'Hara and Rhett Butler, one of the most enduring couples in American cinema. Their passionate and often antagonistic relationship was almost too big for the confines of the demure South.
Sir, you are no gentleman.
And you, miss, are no lady.
Oh.
But don't think that I hold that against you. Ladies have never held any charm for me.
First you take a low, common advantage of me, then you insult me.
I meant it as a compliment. And I hope to see more of you when you're free of the spell of the elegant Mr. Wilkes.
This year marks the 75th anniversary of Gone with the Wind, a tale with war, love gone wrong, and tragic endings, all the makings of epic melodrama.
Oh, Red, please don't go. You can't leave me, please. I'll never forgive you.
I'm not asking you to forgive me. I'll never understand or forgive myself. And if a bullet gets me, so help me, I'll laugh at myself for being an idiot. There's one thing I do know. That is that I love you, Scarlett.
Adjusted for inflation, Gone with the Wind has grossed more money than any other American film. This week, an exhibition opened at the University of Texas at Austin, which explores the making of the film, from casting to controversies that began even before the first take. Steve Wilson is the curator, and he joins us now. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Good to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So this was the biggest budget film of the day. Give us an idea of just how long it was in the making and how big a challenge was it for that time?
It was a huge challenge. The producer, David O. Selznick, was one of the great producers of the time. He purchased the rights to the novel in the summer of 1936, and it would be 3 years in the making before they started shooting.
Now, there's a lot in this exhibition about the casting, especially, of course, the casting of Scarlett. Screen tests for more than 1,400 actresses and thousands of letters from women all over the country who wanted that part.
Selznick put out the word everywhere through newspapers and gossip columns, inviting just anybody to write in, and people did. Some of my favorite material in the exhibition are these letters from women writing in, asking for a chance to play the part. Most of them knew that they had no chance in the world, but they were moved to write to him because they identified so closely with this character.
We have a letter that was written to producer David Selznick, dated March 21st, 1937. Let's listen to that.
Experience? None. Except life, knowing love, hate, giving birth, facing death, being supremely happy, and knowing utter despair.
All right, so after this very elaborate process, looking for an unknown, and then rumors of actresses as famous as Katharine Hepburn getting the part, they chose a Brit, which a lot of people didn't like, right?
Oh, absolutely not. It was a huge problem for them at first. The fact that it was anyone other than a Southern-born woman playing the part really bothered, especially the United Daughters of the Confederacy issued a proclamation about it.
Well, the casting of Vivian Leigh as Scarlett O'Hara was not the only controversy surrounding the making of the film. Black activists lobbied Selznick not to make the film at all. They called it un-American, anti-Semitic, anti-Negro, pro-KKK, and a glorification of Southern lynch society. And Selznick's first reaction to that was to ignore it.
Well, everyone on his staff told him to ignore it. He said it'll just go away. About a year later, Selznick actually got into a long correspondence with Walter White, who was the head of the NAACP. White wanted Selznick to hire an African-American advisor to be on the set to advise on historical matters.
And the African-American press of that day also had a big effect on this. And ultimately, he did have to make some changes, right?
That's right. In particular, the Pittsburgh Courier, a writer named Earl Morris, who was the motion picture editor for that paper, started writing a series of blistering editorials about the film and what they thought would be in the film. And Earl Morris focused on what he called the hate word and how terrible it would be to include that in the film.
And of course, the hate word that you're referring to is the N-word.
Yes. In large part because of these editorials by Earl Morris, Selznick ultimately decided to take that word out of the script.
What do you think, after going through all this material, putting it all together for this exhibition, getting so deeply engrossed in this film, what do you think it is that has made it endure and is so much ingrained in our pop culture?
Well, I think it all comes down to Scarlett O'Hara, this incredible character. I've been saying that the story of the making of Gone with the Wind is really the story of the Great Depression, much more than the Civil War. The issues that Scarlett was dealing with were things that were very familiar to people of the Great Depression. Food insecurity. Scarlett says, I'll never go hungry again. War was something that had touched everyone. So these issues that were so important to Scarlett were also important to the people of the time. And I think that it resonated so much that it became an integral part of our culture that is still with us today.
Steve Wilson is the film curator at the University of Texas at Austin. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you. This has been fun.